The scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 1, page 568 on the Pew Bibles. Psalm 1. This is a wonderful psalm that we have in the Word of God. So Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Before we open this text, let us pray together. O Lord, I ask you for your blessing this morning. Bless your word, bless the preaching of your word, but also bless the hearing of your word. Help us to leave this place this morning thinking what a great God we have, and help us to apply what we are going to hear into our lives. We pray in the Lord of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Suppose a man said to you, "From now on, I will drive on the wrong side of the road. I will drive on the wrong side of the road. I want to be free," this man says. Now, if a man said that to you, you might laugh because of his foolishness. You might try to warn him about the danger. And when you hear that this man is dead, it wouldn't surprise you, right? It could be no other way. Some realities cannot be avoided. A man who is on the wrong side of the road will, sooner or later, die. A man who is on the wrong side of the highway will meet with disaster. This is simply the nature of life and the universe. Some things cannot be avoided, and the outcome is certain. And Psalm 1 teaches us a greater certainty about life. The content of Psalm 1 is of eternal consequence. What we have in Psalm 1 is your future laid out for you. For good or for ill. Psalm 1 lays out to you the future of life and the future of eternity to you. It is a way by which we can examine your life and know what the outcome is. Just like a man driving on the wrong side of the road, if you are on the wrong side of someone, God's word guarantees disaster for you. By contrast, someone promises for us that are in the right side blessing from him. It is a certain outcome that cannot be avoided. One path leads to blessing from God,
The other path leads to judgment from God. And brothers and sisters, friends, boys and girls, there is not a third path. There is not a third path. And as we gather together in this church, and everyone who hears this message over the radio or over the internet is on one path or the other. Someone allows no third path, a third way. The question so for us today is, will you examine yourself in light of what this psalm says? Will you examine your life with what you are going to hear today? We have two paths that have completely different outcomes, extreme outcomes. So you must choose, because the consequences are severe, are eternal. There are consequences to the way that you respond to the word of God. There are consequences to the way that you respond to what you will hear today. Someone confronts us and says, you must pay heed because the consequences are so vast. And so I invite you, I ask you, and I beg you to pay heed this morning for your own sake, and for the sake of what the Lord has said before us today. And we should approach this text as once again God extending a merciful hand to you that says, this is the truth. This is the way of judgment, and this is the way of blessing. Choose. Which way will you go? Are you going to drive on the wrong side of the road and find death and find disaster? Or you will drive in the right side of the road and find the blessing of the Lord? We will consider two main points this morning. First, the way of the righteous, and second, the way of the wicked. So first, let's take a look at the way of the righteous, the way of the blessed. Who wouldn't want to be blessed? I'm sure that you want to be blessed, right? You want to be happy. Who wouldn't want to be supremely and truly happy? Why would anyone walk away from that? Let's read again Psalm 1, 2 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This psalm begins with, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And this word speaks about intense happiness. It is saying that it is supremely good to be in this position. And then the psalm goes on to describe what this position is. What is it to be a blessed man and woman? What is it to be blessed? Here is a man who is supremely blessed. And I'm sure that you want to be blessed and happy, so you need to pay attention to this psalm. This is an invitation of the blessing of God. Now, you don't just fall into this. You don't just happen to experience the blessing of God. Someone promises blessing to those who will actually think about life, who will actually contemplate their soul, who will actually look at the world and think and judge and make discerning evaluations about the path of life that they're going to take. That's the kind of invitation that it is given here. How can be the man who is under the blessing of God? How can you be that man? How can you be that woman? Well, it requires you to think, to make decisions. You can recognize the righteous, the blessed man, by three aspects of his life. Three aspects of his life. First, the righteous man can be recognized by what he rejects. He can be recognized by what he rejects. The man or the woman who simply wants to please all that's around them, that never wants to cause any waves, that doesn't want to struggle in life with difficult questions, is a person who is never going to be blessed. The blessed man understands that he lives in a fallen world. And he says, I won't be part of that. I will separate myself from that. I renounce to that. I don't belong to this world. And we see that in verse 1 of this psalm. We see it with the negatives. The negatives. Verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. You can recognize the blessed man by what he rejects. Do you notice the negatives here? He does not walk in the council. He does not stand in the path of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of scoffers. He rejects all of that. And this is profound. In one simple verse, you are seeing a man who looks at the world and he rejects what he sees. He doesn't turn to the world for advice. He doesn't participate in their sinful activities. He doesn't accept their definitions of truth. He rejects their standards of morality. He says, I will stand alone before I will stand with them. And this is an intentional separation from the wicked world. But this doesn't just happen. There is a understanding and a recognition in the righteous man. He understands that he is in the midst of a fallen world. He sees how the world is pushing away Scripture. He sees how the world mocks God. He sees how the world embraces behaviors that are condemned in the Word of God. And he says, I will have no part in it. He rejects the world in which he lives in. This is the mark of the blessed man. He wants no part, not only of just the activities of sinful people around him. He doesn't want to have their mindset either. His affections are not on what this world brings. His affections are not on what this world gives. He says, this is not mine. This is not what I love. He rejects the world. The blessed man, the righteous man, is described here as one who has rejected the world. The righteous man is known by what he rejects. And this is consistent with the teaching of the New Testament. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that it is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Also on James 4:4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But it is more than a rejection. The righteous man is also known by what he receives. He's known by what he rejects, but he also is known by what he receives. First, he rejects. That's what the psalm teaches us. Second, what he receives. What he receives, we can see it in verse 2. But his delight, his love, his desire, his affections, what he loves more than anything else, is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Wow. At his core, this man loves the word of God. It is that simple, plain, and evident. And here we have a contrast. This word but, at the beginning of verse 2, makes a contrast. We are in a different realm here. Verse 1 refers to what he hates. And verse 2 refers to what he loves. I reject the sinful world, but I love the word of God. My delight is in the word of God. My desire is to think, is to read, is to meditate, and to live the word of God, is to obey the word of God. And it is so important for this man, the word of God, that it is stated twice here. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, twice, he meditates day and now. That's the focus in this verse. And the word for law here refers to God's written revelation in the Bible. The totality of what God has revealed in Scripture, that's what the blessed man loves. He loves a book. He studies Scripture. He reads Scripture. He thinks about Scripture. But he goes further than that. He obeys the word of God. This man, this woman, this young person has his mind on the word of God not only on Sundays, but every day and night. He can't live one day without opening the word of God. He needs to be fed on the word of God. He needs to eat the word of God. Because that's what he loves. There is a day and night monopoly on this man's affections, on this man's thinking. And that comes from the word of God, and the entire desire, the strongest desire of his heart, is to bring the totality of his life under the authority, the blessing, and the revelation of the word of God. It is not a burdensome joke to him that he resents. This man loves the word of God. Let's read again verse 2, because it is so amazing for me. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is what he wants, because he knows this is the only truth. He knows that the word, that the world is under lies and under wrong philosophies. He knows that the word of God is truth, because it comes from the mind of God. This is what he builds his life around the word of God. You see, living a righteous life starts with your mind. Living a righteous life, living a blessed life, starts with your mind. It starts with your affections. It starts with the inner man and woman. When you love the word of God, when you read the word of God, when you think and meditate about the word of God, when you study the word of God, when you obey the word of God, it changes the way that you think. It changes what you love. It changes what you desire. That's what the word of God makes. The mind drives the heart, and the heart drives the behavior. So a man who wants to be blessed, the man who wants to know the goodness that lies at the end of the blessing of God, says, I'm going to set my heart, and I'm going to direct my affections to seek and to pursue and to understand God's holy word. That will be the desire of my heart. So the question this morning is, do you love the word of God like that? Do you love God's word? And I know that we are not monks to be reading the Bible 14 hours a day. That's not possible. That is not the point here. This psalm is not talking about quantity of time. It's talking about a quality of heart. A quality of heart. Is God's word what you have set your heart on? Is it what you value more than anything else? And this is an important question, because if the Bible is not what you love most, that means that you are not in the camp of the righteous. If you don't love the Bible, this psalm teaches us, you are not in the path of the blessed. This is what this psalm is teaching us. You see, the blessed man and the happy man rejects the world and receives God's word. And he says, I will set my heart on this word. I love this word. I want to eat this word day and night. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7. I want you to look at Ezra 7:10. Here is a takeaway. Here we have an illustration. Here we have the model for you to follow in your own life. Ezra 7, at the end of verse 9, says, for the good hand of his God was on him. For the good hand of his God was on him. And the question is why? We have the answer in verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it to teach his status and rules in Israel. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Ezra set his heart. He gathered up his affections, and with a deliberate intent of his mind, he said, "My life will be pursuing this word. I will embrace this word. This is what I will study. This is what I will think about. The most important priority in my life is that I understand this word and that I conform my life to it." He wasn't just someone who read it. He wanted to practice it. "This book is my love. It's my life. This book is my hope. This is the object of my affection. This book is so precious to me because it came from God. This book came from God. These words came from God. From Genesis to Revelation, it came from God. When we read this book, we are reading the mind of God. We are reading the very words of God." And when you, my friends, when you understand that, you want to read it every day. You want to read it every day. This is the written word of God. This is the word that testifies to the incarnate word of God. The God who became flesh to be the savior of men by giving his life on a cross to save us from sin. How could anyone not love a book that comes from the infinite creator of the world? That's foolishness. That testifies to the way that our sins can be forgiven. A book that is pure, that is holy, that leads us to the path of God's eternal blessing. How could anyone not love a book like that? That's foolishness. Now, what happens when a man or a woman or a young person loves the Bible like that? What's the outcome? Verse 3. What is the result? Verse 3, Psalm 1. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither." And this part is amazing for me. "In all that he does," all, not only one part, everything, "in all that he does," what? "He prospers." That's a promise. That is a promise from God. A tree planted near water will flourish regardless of the surrounding elements, right? In the same way, the man or the woman who loves God's word in the way that we've been describing here this morning is going to thrive regardless of his life's circumstances. There is a spiritual fruitfulness to him. He will be productive. He will have fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And at the end of verse 3, "In whatever he does, he prospers." There is fruit coming out of his life. And he will prosper because he will do everything according to the word of God, because that's what he loves. He will do anything according to the word of God. And God guarantees this outcome for him. So in the first three verses, we saw the negative and the positive contrast of the righteous man. What he rejects, what he receives, and the outcome. Now, let's take a look at verses 4 and 5. Here we have a contrast. Verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Wow. Now we're going to see the way of the wicked. We saw the way of the righteous. Now the way of the wicked. Who are the wicked? The wicked are the reverse of what I just described. The wicked are those who don't love the word of God, who are indifferent to the word of God. The wicked are those who is a burden and a joke to read the word of God. They are the contrasting image. They are defined by the opposite of what we just saw in the first three verses. And this psalm describes the wicked as chaff. Now, what is chaff? Chaff is a word that we don't use a lot. Well, I don't use it a lot. I've never read this word, you know, before. Chaff, but I went to the dictionary to know what is this word about. What is chaff? Chaff was something very common, something well known when this psalm was written. Was a part of daily life. Chaff was a byproduct of harvest time. It was something that you throw up in the air, and the wind would blow it away, and the good grain would fall back down to the floor. And the chaff was useless. It was waste. It was debris. It was a byproduct that had no value, that needed to be destroyed, burned, to be separated from the grain. It was gathered, and it was burned. And with this, do you realize the horrific picture this paints of the wicked people? What this says about those who love the world and those who reject or dismiss the word of God? What God's word is saying to us from God's perspective is that the wicked is chaff. They are like chaff. Those who don't love the word of God are useless debris, fit only to be gathered and burned. That is the description on this psalm. Those who don't delight in the word of God are debris. Look at verse 5 with me, which describes what this wicked person receives. Therefore, the outcome, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They won't have a chance. They won't have a defense in the judgment. They won't find anything to say to their favor. nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That means that they will be condemned. They will be condemned. I want you to turn with me now to Matthew 3, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist, he used this same phrase here. He used this same phrase. Matthew 3, verse 11, says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he, Christ, who is coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. And now hear this. And he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff, what? He will burn with unquenchable fire. Wow. I think this is a quote from someone. Our Lord Jesus Christ will gather the chaff to be burned with unquenchable fire. That means that the choice to ignore, the choice to spurn Scripture, leads to that outcome. If you are indifferent to God's word, if a man rejects God's word, is a man who is choosing his own destruction. And sometimes when people hear this, they say to me, you are exaggerating. That's just symbolic. But that's what the Bible says. And we need to warn people. We need to warn people. A man who is showing his home indifference to the word of God is useless debris to be cast out, to be separated from good grain. And Scripture makes this point with a number of metaphors. The wheat will be separated from the tares. The goats will be separated from the sheep. There will be a separation coming in the judgment. That's why the wicked will not be in the congregation of the righteous. And is that serious? It's that severe. We cannot avoid this. So we've seen the way of the righteous, and we've seen the way of the wicked. Now, in verse 6, we are going to see the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. Why is it that the man of God's word is blessed? Why is it that the wicked are driven off into judgment? It is not because there is some kind of self-fulfilling power in our choices. No. Behind all of this is the power and the omnipotence and the righteous judgment of God. We can know for certain that the man of righteousness is blessed. We can know for certain that the man of wickedness will be cursed, because the Lord knows their ways. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows our ways, either one of them. The Lord leads the man who loves his word, and this keeps us from all anxiety about what future holds. He knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows his heart. As Peter said in John 21, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He knows. He knows. But if you are indifferent to the word, the Lord knows your way too. So in light of Psalm 1, of what we've seen today, if this is your case, if you still go your way resisting, resenting God's word, you are choosing your own destruction, and it won't be anyone's fault but yours. God will not accept the blame because the way of life and the way of death was set before you. God is warning you today. So for Christians, for us that are Christians, the takeaway from this psalm is that we need to spend time in God's word, reading God's word, meditating God's word, so that we are guided by it and instructed by it in our lives. And the result will be lives that produce fruit and stand in contrast to the lives of the ungodly. For unbelievers, if you are an unbeliever today, the takeaway from this psalm is an urgent one. Apart from faith in Christ, the Bible teaches that you will perish and be eternally separated from the assembly of the righteous, and more important, from the Lord himself. Regardless of the good deeds that you may do on this earth, apart from faith in Christ, you are in a desperate situation without hope and facing God's judgment. And we, as believers, we have the responsibility and obligation to do all we can to share this urgent news with those who are perishing. Because just like for us, the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the way of the righteousness, is the only hope they have. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you for warning us. Thank you for the descriptions and the contrast that we find on this psalm. Oh Lord, help us to be this blessed man and woman. Help us to be this righteous man and woman. Help us to, that our delight, we find it in your word. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to read it day and night. I pray for unbelievers in this place. I don't know if we have here an unbeliever, but if we do, Lord, I pray for him or for her. I pray that you do your work on his heart or her heart. Open their hearts, open their minds, and grant to them the gift of repentance and faith. Thank you for warning us. Be, Lord, with us the rest of this day, and help us to do everything for your glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.